Okay, Stephanie, after we
Yes.
play the Nicholas Brendon thing, I'm
Yes.
going to read the back of the box
Yes.
and then I'm going to play the trivia.
Ready.
So you say.
I'm ready.
Hey, this is Nicholas Brendon. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast.
Season 5, episode 22, The Gift. Refusing to believe that killing Dawn is the only way to save the universe, Buffy prepares to do battle against Glory and finally realizes the true meaning of her gift. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Kimberly.
And this is Gabby. Hi, everybody.
And I'm Illyrio.
The stacks of paper. Is that
Hey,
Canadian Tire
I
money?
think we have a guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
Guest, are you
so
here?
distracted by all the money.
He's gonna make it rain up in here.
Yeah, we're getting paid to podcast.
Finally.
Giant stack of bills, y'all, is
Giant.
Canadian Tire money.
Was that $5?
I have $20. Jim,
How much?
$20.
$20?
Ooh.
Nice.
It's thick like a brick.
I remember
No.
going on a road trip to in the States, and there were signs that said, "We do not accept Canadian Tire money."
That's awesome.
Kevin, do you remember green stamps? Gabby, you might, I guess you're my age. You remember green stamps?
Oh yeah, my mom
Yes.
collected those.
Is that the same thing? Is that like the same thing as Canadian time?
Well, when you go to Canadian Tire and you spend like $10, they give you 5 cents of Canadian Tire money that you can
Oh.
use. And
Actually,
so, is it
every single
$20?
transaction they give you minimum along with your change, 5 cents of Canadian Tire money.
Yeah. So you can collect it. I remember when we were younger, we would and when I was in the Girl Guides, we would go around and we'd have like Canadian Tire fundraiser stuff. So we'd ask people to donate their Canadian Tire money and we'd buy like camping gear and stuff. You'd be so surprised at how much money like you can collect.
Yeah, it's
And
amazing.
I
People barely use this stuff. And at my son's school, we have a constant fundraiser. We just keep reminding parents, feel free to
Yeah.
bring us your Canadian Tire money. And we've collected last year and first half of this year, we collected $300.
Yeah.
It's a giant stack.
I
And here's
remember
the
it's
thing.
like a suitcase full.
The cashier has to count that as you check out.
Yeah.
There's no way of going there. I asked. There's no way of going there and having them swap it for like a gift card. You have to use it upon checkout.
Wow.
So
I
that'll be.
remember one of the funniest news stories I had, I was watching, and there's been like two or three people like across Canada who have been like Canadian Tire thousandaires.
Wow.
And they had this guy, he has been collecting money since he was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And people, as a joke, they know that's the Canadian Tire guy. So they would send him his
That's
Canadian Tire money. And he had $1,000 and he bought like one of those lawnmowers you can ride on.
a writing mower.
Yeah. So he got $1,000 worth and a free riding mower. It took him like
Love this
30
country.
years to do it, but it was amazing. It was the best ever.
My country is ridiculous. I love it. Hey,
What?
guess what I heard, you guys?
What?
This is a Buffy podcast.
This isn't a Canadian
A
Tire Money
what?
podcast.
Yeah, Buffy podcast. Listen,
Oh.
folks, you all have been extraordinarily patient and kind with all the commentaries that came out, including my experiment. But it's time, you know, as I'm doing right now, to roll up our sleeves.
And dive right in. Dirty.
And now here comes the part that you've all been looking forward to. I'm about to lay a big steaming pile of crap on this episode.
Good, I'm not the only one!
It's going to start with, have these people not heard of basic first aid?
That's nitpicking.
Is it?
But, you mean about the blood or what?
On everything.
Well, when the blood starts, the blood has to run its course.
That sounds like some kind of feminist claptrap. I'm joking.
I'm wondering if we have a different perspective, newbies, going into this, because we know that there are, what, two more seasons to go?
Yeah, see, that's the problem I have with it.
Yeah, where people watched it, they thought this probably could have been the last episode.
Hmm. Kevin, did you watch it live?
No, I watched it on DVD, so same thing. I knew there were a bunch more in the box.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Okay, this could have been the finale. There were ideas tossed around, but since it was not the series finale, they changed them. And there is an alternate ending where Dawn dies, where she goes ahead and jumps and dies. And I don't understand, if this was not the series finale, why Buffy died.
Why she died? Because there are two more seasons left.
Yeah, I don't understand why it ended this way. Like, I would...
They made her die because that way they knew they'd have another season to bring her back. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, well, Joyce died, and Dawn was going to bring her back, but it's already set up that in the show, you can't undo
right
natural causes.
But Buffy already died in the series, and she came back.
Okay.
So why can't she do the same again?
She's like a Winchester in that way.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is 100 episodes.
What?
Is that the 100th?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, really?
That's pretty interesting timing.
You also got to see scenes from all previous 99 and that previously on.
Really? All of them?
All of them. Some of them just for a blink of an eye, but all of them.
Oh, nice.
Well, let me tell you, that was one of my favorite parts watching this episode.
Was the previously on?
The very beginning?
Yeah. And although I am not very, although I'm ready to poop on this episode, I will say that I loved it. And I enjoyed it tremendously. But there is just that one nagging thing at the end where Buffy sacrificed herself for a MacGuffin.
But, okay, I feel like if we had watched this season, if you had just watched it straight through, watched this whole season in a couple of weeks, you would still feel the weight of Joyce's presence in the season. And you would still remember when Joyce said, when she begged Buffy to take care of Dawn, that she's hers.
And so, I understand it. I actually get it, too. Like, I can see how, from Buffy's perspective, she had to protect her sister. And I believe, as a viewer of this show, that the character of Buffy believes that Dawn is her sister, as evidenced by the way she gave Giles those dirty looks when he suggested that Dawn wasn't really her sister. So I totally get it. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy about it. So hopefully we can understand that my criticism is one of, I just wouldn't have done it like this. Then seeing as how successful I am in television. But it's still just, I have this nagging feeling about it, that it's just I get it, but I was looking forward to being actually partisan to it. You know, I guess I was kind of always hoping that maybe I would be won over by the whole Dawn part of the storyline. And when I wasn't at the end of everything, I was just like, okay, this is kind of cool. And listen, I had an emotional reaction at the end when Buffy realized that the only way to do this was to, you know, sacrifice herself. I had an emotional reaction. It touched me. It reached me. But, you know, couldn't we have just substituted Willow for Dawn? And I would have loved it better. I would have loved it better if it was her friend that we knew since the very beginning and she was sacrificing herself for Willow. And it doesn't mean more to me that she was sacrificing herself for her newfound sister, whatever way she was newfound, if she's real or not. It would have touched me more if it was for Willow. It would have touched me more if it was for Giles. It would have,
exactly.
Just lost her mom. Giles is in mortal danger. She can't let Giles die. So, excuse me, my mom's calling me in. I don't have time for you, woman. I realize how ironic that is.
How ironic.
But my mom is still alive, and she's not played by Christine Sutherland. If she was played by Christine Sutherland, I'd probably answer the phone. But yeah. All of this to say that I think I would have been really, really, really touched and completely 100% on board if it was a situation where it was someone else instead of Dawn. Almost anyone else that we've already met. Even Tara. Even Tara. I think I would have preferred it if it was Tara. I wouldn't have believed it, especially if it was Anya. I wouldn't have believed it if it was Anya. But I, you guys know what I mean. I don't need
one of the core group from the very beginning. But I think I kind of spoiled myself. I didn't know what was going to happen, but because we were talking the last episode about there's going to be this big crossover, and I was like, of course there's going to be a crossover. So I was expecting, I think even in the commentary, I was like, oh, Buffy's going to go, right?
And yeah, then that's when what I was hoping.
And then when she jumped, I was like, oh, right, she's going to end up in the next episode of Angel, right on, right?
That would have been awesome, right? That's what I predicted.
It's a portal!
So I was like, okay, right, because I wasn't particularly sad because I was like, she's not dead because she's going to be an angel. Like, I had this idea that there's going to be this crossover for whatever reason. I think you guys talked me into it. And everyone's saying this episode's so great, right? So I think I was expecting more, even though a lot happened. So when it was done, I was like, oh, that's it? Like, oh okay. And I immediately wanted to start watching season 6, episode 1, but I stopped myself.
Good. I can't wait to do that tomorrow. Oh, actually, I can watch it while I run tonight.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. I think, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more, my whole beef with the episode is, and I, anyone that listened to my, and I stand by anyone that listened to my commentary knows, I still think it was needless, and I didn't see why she didn't have to die. I'm like, why? Like, I don't know. The whole just things just seemed ridiculous to me. Like, I felt no sense of urgency. I didn't care if I'm like, oh, there's got to be. I'm like, there are so many loopholes in this whole how the world is going to end thing. Yeah. I felt like none of it needed to happen at all. And then I'm like, why are we going to be so protective of why does Dawn have to die and carry on and carry on the burden? It seemed useless and ridiculous to me. I didn't care for the episode at all.
Yeah. Like even when it was done, I didn't even click into me because I was like, she's not dead.
Yeah, there's that because I'm like, oh, we've got more seasons of this, so I know she's gonna come back somehow. So I felt again no sense of urgency, and with the exception of two times in the episode that both related to Spike, I felt no emotion towards any one of these characters. It was weird. It was weird. And I know I was supposed to, and a lot of stuff was put there, like the whole, you know, like the getting engaged after the sex in the basement. I was supposed to feel all warm and fuzzy, and I did. I didn't care at all about Tara, and, you know, I still don't, and I'm going to get hate for this, but whatever, it's me. These are my feelings. I don't feel the love between Tara and Willow. And it was whatever. Oh, look, she's back to normal. And every time she calls her baby, it's just weird. And it seems so forced. And I don't get the connection. I don't feel it.
I'm with you, Gabby, on that. I don't know if I just don't like the actress. And we're like beating a dead horse because we've talked about this ad nauseum.
In a long time.
Sorry, I've been here for a while. But yeah, I feel nothing. Well, I feel say nothing. I feel less towards Tara than anyone else on the show, maybe with the exception of Dawn. But I totally understand what you're saying. I have to say I agree.
Well, I didn't want to jump in too soon.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Well, no, I mean, everybody who's listening is very curious in all of your opinions, obviously, because you guys are going through it the first time. Mm-hmm. And there are no wrong opinions. So, you know, trust me, we all, you know, in the Facebook groups have talked about trying to remember what it was like the first time you watched the series when you don't know what's coming next. You don't know the importance of certain milestones that might be happening, obviously. Steph and myself and other folks have to bite our lips sometimes on on these things, but it's difficult. I mean, a series like Buffy is going to mean the most to you as a viewer if you're someone who likes to go all in. You like to ride the roller coaster and pull all the other stuff to the side. So it's very much an emotional ride. Unlike some other shows, which you can enjoy a little more as a detached viewer, just kind of, you know, watching it slide by. So it's for someone who likes to do that. You certainly feel a lot when you see what Buffy does. Mm-hmm. And as you kind of pointed out, Illyrio, it was an excellent observation that when it came down to a choice between Dawn and Buffy. Yeah. At this point, you've seen Dawn for, you know, whatever it is, 21 episodes or something, trying to decide who it is. But if it was Giles or someone else, that might have affected how you saw her choice, Buffy's choice. But either way, what she did was for everyone. It wasn't just for Dawn. I mean, someone had to close the portal. And it had to be her or Dawn once it was opened. Mm-hmm. So it was still being done for Giles and Willow and everyone else.
And I guess with me, I just don't understand why couldn't it have been Dawn? Like, I wouldn't have cared. Like, seriously, like Illyrio said, I'm just not obviously that emotionally invested in her to care that she gets to be that one that live. And then too, so many things happened leading up to that event where I'm like, it was needless. It never even needed to get that far with the shallow cuts to get the blood to open the portal business. I feel like it could have been thwarted a million times leading up to that. Mm-hmm. But
well, it's
hence the needlessness to me, and I know it's a show.
Yeah.
And it happened, and I just need to get over it and accept it.
I think that might have been a case of symbolism over actual practicality.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. It's the idea of she has to bleed. Why does she have to bleed? Because they're related, and there's that scene that Buffy flashes back to. Because, you know, we're not going to remember necessarily, like me. That they're blood sisters. It's not imaginary. The monks retconned reality. Okay?
She's this is not real. Monks
retconned reality. They not didn't real. Retcon anything else. So in actual fact, Dawn has been here the whole time. Ergo what we saw in Buffy's Mind Palace. So there's all this stuff that annoys me. Because the choice of bringing in a fake sister who's her real sister, I think still bothers me to a point where I'm not very happy about what's actually going on.
Right.
Okay, for me, The reveal of Dawn, the new sister, I thought it was brilliant at the time. It blew my mind. I was like, that is just genius. Ingenious. But for me, the character of Dawn over the season, like, I am not emotionally invested. She does nothing for me. After that initial, you know, reveal of who she is and how she came to be, I do not care about the character at all. It's not a compelling story. I don't feel any, emotional resonance with the whole situation.
But part of it for the enjoyment of the what ifs is to look and realize that, I'm not going to be spoilery here, but a good part of what, for a lot of people, makes Buffy as special as it is realizing it's showing you, as we all did as we grew up, the idea of created family, you know, whether it's friends or whatever in life. You can't control, obviously, that blood part of things, but you can control who you choose for your created family in life. Yeah. And Dawn was thrown in late. So no, there's not the resonance if it had been Willow or Giles there. But if you were the older sibling, the mother, the father, whatever, and that situation came, that's what you have to make, is that difficult choice. And it's all of us thinking about ourselves in that situation that I think can give it a lot more powerful emotion to think about it that way. That's where I think, and maybe this is definitely on the guise of being able to go back and do rewatches of the show. For all the times we poke fun and justifiably at Buffy for a character, if you try to watch the show from her perspective, it's a totally different thing. To realize, again, at this point, she's, what, supposedly 21 years old?
But even if I think if I try to put myself in Buffy's shoes, I'd be like, I don't know. I think some of the things she does are ridiculous. But
yeah.
Anyways, again, it's a television show. So
what?
Yeah. Anyways, let's go on.
So for those of you wondering, are they going to start recapping the episode? I don't think we're doing that this time. Not that we usually
do. I just want to
do.
Say, okay, the first, okay, the teaser where Buffy stakes the vamp in the alley. It said, thinking that this would be the series finale, creator Joss Whedon did the scene in the alley at the beginning for old time's sake. Just take us back, I guess, to the beginning of, you know, Buffy.
Yeah, I think I even said, I was like, wow, it's been a while since we've seen her actually
do her job.
Dust someone.
It was so nice to see, and it felt familiar, and it felt right, and it was fun. It was the first time that there'd been, for me, you know, the good old days and the fun back again after it being so heavy for so long.
I actually thought that opening scene was a dream because even though she was, you know, doing her stakeout, she thank you she if she was so melancholy about it, and it was just so like, that's what I do, I'm just sick. Like, it just felt so awkward.
I think the problem with this episode is it's so heavy in the you know, what's hanging in the air is that Dawn needs to die. And just like with Giles being so what's the word? How do I describe his demeanor in this episode? He's so
stone cold,
depressed, down, serious, dour. I don't know what to call it.
British.
when they try, you know, they try to inject some levity and some humor, and it's just too serious of an episode for any of it to work, and I think that's the problem I have with it.
Can I just say, because it's playing right now here on my iPad, that not only was Spike thrown from a very high spot, but he manages to land on the pile of wood and bricks.
But he's a vampire. He should heal quickly.
Understood. But still, like, that's there was okay. an area without bricks and wood around.
Yeah, there were a lot of things. I was like, if someone, like even Xander or even Anya, like they would be knocked out for a week cold.
when Anya stuff, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. Uh-huh. When she was in certain peril,
yeah,
laying on her, I was like, oh, Anya, I'm like, there's like a big piece of wood or whatever on her. It doesn't really look like she'd be fine. She'd be okay.
I thought she was dead. I thought they were going to kill her off.
Wait, well, I thought instantly she was going to die as soon as they got engaged. And when she's like asking
exactly. me done,
I was like, what's this foreshadowing of Anya dying now? Great.
Yeah, okay. I got
the
notes.
Part where Giles kills.
What's Joss Whedon joked at the Nocturnal Convention in 2001 that Anya was originally supposed to die in this episode. However, he had to keep her alive because Emma Caulfield kept moving as Xander was carrying Anya.
That's how awesome. To do it.
Very professional.
She knew what she was doing.
Darn right.
She's a delight.
Job security.
She is a delight, and I didn't like it when everybody was snapping at her.
No. Yeah, I think I even said in my commentary, I was like, finally, Anya says something that I didn't roll my eyes at. She wasn't just there for the comic relief. Mm-hmm. She said something important at a very important time, and everyone listened to her. I was like, finally, thank you.
And then, but before that, everybody accused her of saying something stupid.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, who are you all? Kimberly?
Yeah.
She had her moment of redemption with me.
They have a Norse god's hammer or whatever. They have a wrecking ball.
Ugh.
And they can't bring a first aid kit.
I know you like that wrecking ball thing, Illyrio. That made me cringe so hard. I was like, this is the dumbest thing.
It's only dumb because there's no way for him to know when they'll be there and actually build momentum. It was completely random happenstance.
Yeah. And his line after it happens was vomit inducing.
It was awesome. It was some of the cheesiest fromage.
So bad.
I don't know if you folks remember going way back to season one finale. They had the scene after Buffy died that time, where she and Angel and all did the heroes walk to the theme song.
Are you saying that Ben and Glory are connected somehow?
So,
and that to me is another example of you really need to embrace the cheese in this show if you're going to have any chance of enjoying a good part of it. I mean, that's a classic Buffy take.
Yeah.
but it's so, like, it keeps switching up on me because I'm like, I'm digging the cheese. What's one of my favorite episodes still? The Pack. Band candy. I like, but then it's been like super serious and heavy. And then it brings back the cheese. And now it seems inappropriate to me. It's weird. And okay, the big erector set. Okay, has it always been there, or was it built and no one in Sunnydale realizes that there's basically this big, like, oil rig business going
on? Yeah.
I get the impression that it was just built. Like, they're still working, like, in the last couple of days.
The craftsmanship is just shoddy because there's things laying everywhere.
It's all of Glory's minions. They had to create it high enough so that the blood would open the portal up there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, here's, can we go back to Olaf's hammer?
Olaf.
Okay. You mean the really light, heavy hammer?
Uh-huh. The hammer? Hold on, let me see. Where do I start? Olaf is never mentioned as being a troll god until this episode. In Triangle, he is simply referred to as a man who was magically changed into a troll. Anya mentioned that his power was contained in his hammer, however, which makes the hammer a more valid weapon. Additionally, while Xander didn't even have visible bruises despite being struck by the hammer repeatedly, Buffy uses it in this episode to literally beat Glory to a bloody pulp. The hammer also seems to prove that the Slayer is seemingly stronger than most vampires. Buffy easily lifts and wields it with one hand, whereas Spike was unable to lift it with both hands in blood ties. However, when Buffy fights Spike in other episodes, she does not appear to be stronger. It may be that her ability to lift the hammer is instead a special Slayer power, like Redacted. However, when the hammer is knocked off the tower during Buffy's fight with Glory, it lands hard on the concrete below but does not damage the ground beneath it. Something an object that heavy surely would do. Consistencies. Okay.
Symbolism.
So she's not like Thor.
No.
Now, one thing, you know, while we're bouncing around that I really appreciated, I don't know if anyone else, what they thought of it, I very much liked watching Buffy, knowing that she was going into this big battle and likely, you know, someone was going to die or whatever. Mm-hmm. I liked how she had the hearts to hearts with Giles and Spike and Willow, mm-hmm. like a good leader would, to let all of them know she was going to need them to be at their best and had full confidence in them, even though all of them were having a bit of a, you know, crisis of confidence. You know, the time that the conversation she had with Spike at the house,
You
know, to me very much shows the ability she can have to pull the team together to show what they're capable of and to give the characters a chance to come forward.
Mm-hmm. Well,
or not.
Buffy's always been very hit and miss for me as a leader because she's badass, but she's also wimpy. You know, it's always this,
flawed.
This constant. Yeah, but not just flawed. It's not like she's an anti-hero and she's an alcoholic or she, you know, Clint Eastwood and Pale Rider, who you're supposed to cheer for him, but he'd rape someone. The idea is she's contradictory. It isn't just flawed. It's like there are moments of where she with, and I've said this before, I'll just say it again, with everything she's accomplished, with everything she's gone through, with everything she's been able to do, she still so lacks so much self-confidence that gets in my way of, like, anytime those things come up, it gets in my way of getting behind her and all in, because I'm like, I want her to be as badass as she can be, and in my mind, I guess, should be. So it's this constant, like, shut up, Buffy. I want the other Buffy to talk.
But that's like very much Buffys. Why this series works, in my opinion, because that's real. I mean, we'd love to have heroes that we can identify with in a show, but then they become too much up on the pedestal. To me, that's very much why the characters are real, because that's how myself or any of us might end up in a situation to be this slayer or this person of destiny. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're going to turn into the perfect leader or hero. You're going to have your moments where you totally F up and don't know what you're doing. And I think that's where it, to me, is much more identifiable, because just when you think you're right, she's going to be in her own badass state and she's going to lead them all and be making sharp decisions. And then she makes a real dumb mistake. That's, you know,
I guess because of, please remind me the episode where is it The Wish, when we see total badass Buffy in combat boots? I think so. The Wish.
The Wish, uh-huh.
Yeah, Buffy in combat boots with the braid is the Buffy I want. And it has been ever since that episode. And she hasn't been back yet. And I wish that was the Buffy that was there. And I think it's my problem, understandably. But that's the Buffy I want. That's the Buffy I want. That's the Buffy that I want her to be. The even though, you know, she wasn't perfect in the other world as you know, either, but I don't know, it's just something about, you know, I'm having issues with Buffy being, I suppose, flawed and not this archetype of a hero, but I just, she totally could be, and I really want her to be.
Well, we'll get two more seasons worth. Who knows?
I know. I can't wait to see Dawn the Vampire Slayer.
I hope not.
That's my prediction. My prediction is Dawn is going to be slaying vampires.
No way.
That or some governor is going to give Faith a pardon and she's going to show up.
No, Faith is done. I don't think
Faith is done. There's no way Faith is done.
I think there's going to be another Slayer, personally, but that's all. Anyways.
Yeah, her name is Faith.
No, Faith is...
Stop! No. Just stop using the F word!
No, there's going to be another Slayer because...
You think so?
Yeah. When a Slayer dies, another one shows up, right?
I suppose.
But she... died already and another one showed up and then she was just kind of being rogue, right?
I don't think so.
The rogue vampire slayer.
Rogue vampire slayer.
If only she had a
vampire slayer.
A rogue demon hunter to hang out with.
I wish.
That'd be awesome.
All right, well,
Buffy's still the Slayer because all the other vampires still refer to her as the Slayer, so I'm going with my gut.
Not a be Slayer? One.
Yeah, exactly. They keep calling her the Slayer. So,
she's a local Slayer.
I think that there's going to be another Slayer. Another Kendra, hopefully.
I hope she's Eastern European and her name is Ludmilla.
Okay, let's talk about Buffy the Hero.
Sure.
And let's talk about Giles.
Go.
Well, he finally did it. He finally murdered someone.
Oh my god! That was crazy!
It was awesome.
I liked it. Well, that's so sad. I just said I liked it. I thought that it was portrayed well because it was very calm. He wasn't violent about it in the sense like there was a lot of blood and gore and he was like, I'm going to kill you.
It was scarier this way.
Yeah, he took care of business and he was just like, this is what I have to do.
But he was super matter of fact. Well, except when
exactly.
He was bloody well, like through the whole thing, it was like when Buffy was going off half cocked and being irrational and all, for me and nobody better touch my sister. He was just being, hey, well, this is the reality of this situation. This is what you fucking well need to listen to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then when he, in the same cool, calm, calculated manner, you know, people like us, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole, over the whole episode.
He's a bad man.
Yeah. And over the whole episode, that's what his demeanor was showing, that he knew that if Buffy was not going to take action, he was going to have to take action.
Have to do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Because I had a feeling that there might have been a Buffy Giles showdown with Dawn in the middle. Mm-hmm. I was kind of hoping for that as well, but that didn't happen. But
all right. Well, let me.
That's part of what he was feeling her out for in a couple of those conversations was, would she be able to do it when the time came?
All right, so this is what I found on Wikipedia. It says, in an essay on the ownership of evil, Irma Petrova argues that Giles murdering Ben, deaths are necessary to prevent further suffering. Although the moral ambiguity of killing Ben is discussed earlier in the episode, as well as Ben's innocence. I know he's an innocent, but not like Dawn innocent. Giles is never shown to have feelings of guilt afterwards. He did what needed to be done, Petrova feels. Giles is that... I've redacted some things in here. Giles is that killing Ben is his only option. The police wouldn't understand the danger. Buffy is morally unable to take a human life, and leaving him alive presents a great risk. Giles recognizes that Buffy, as a hero, lives by a more demanding moral code than most people. Her unique role and abilities confer special responsibilities, including moral rules by which Giles is not bound. When Ben marvels, "She could have killed me," Giles disagrees. "No, she couldn't. Never. She's a hero, you see. She's not like us." However, an essay on the ethics in this episode, C.W. Marshall claims that Giles actually exhibits heroism, as his murder of Ben serves a greater good and protects those he loves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
I was thinking, again, a little bit, I think I let my imagination get the better of me, but they kept saying, well, Ben kept saying, if she kills me, she'll have to find another body to go into or something along those lines. Did he say that? Or did someone else say that?
I think one of you guys speculated that.
Yeah, I don't remember anything like that.
No. So.
Okay, never mind. Because I was thinking, as Giles was killing him, I was like, oh my God, is she going to like float up out of him and go into Giles? Or is she going to go into the next male body she finds or something, or human body she finds? It was kind of weird, but they, I don't know, it's kind of didn't manifest that way.
What was so funny is, I don't know if it was Kim or Gabby, maybe, you said in your commentary that you said Buffy sounds suicidal.
That would be me.
Yeah.
And that really, and that stuck with me through the whole thing, and I kind of got on a rant about it yesterday. And I liked it, let's see, so much that I had to like do a screen cap of it, so I may rant about it later if it comes. I was like, oh, I have very valid points to back up my opinion. <That's very awesome. laughs> Oh, screw it, I'll do now. So okay, so this is my deal. So it bothered me, like I get it, and I still feel the pain from the loss of Joyce myself. I'm not going to lie, but kind of like what Illyrio had mentioned with, you know, he likes the kick-ass Buffy, not the basically the sad sack Buffy. And I'm just kind of, you know, she's been making little mentions of it over the past couple of episodes, and I don't want to say like a death wish, but it does sound suicidal, like, you know, boo-hoo, poor me, and I don't want to be a part of this world, and I don't know if I can do it anymore. And especially with the end, with her and the portal business, like my knee-jerk reaction was as bullshit. I'm sorry. I mean, it's like boo-hoo, poor her. I mean, sure, she has crappy luck romantically, and she misses her mom, and then I still, the bond, I get it, their blood, and she's created from her, but it, to me, it's still inexplicable, her bond with Dawn. But ultimately, bad shit happens, and you suck it up, and you get over it, and for me, it seemed like a total cop-out for her to tell everyone that living is hard, it's the hardest thing you have to do, and then she has the nerve to go and sacrifice herself and make everyone else, you know, have to, you know, like Dawn has to take on that burden and live the hard life. And still, to me, that she doesn't exist. She's not a real thing. And I get that a lot of it has to do with that. I never liked her, and I never felt an emotional attachment to her, but I just felt like it was Buffy taking the easy way out. To me, really? That's how it felt, and it stuck with, and it's weird, because I mean, I said it before, and I'll say it again, I was not crazy about this episode at all, but I watched it so many times, and it made me angrier and angrier and angrier every single time when it got to that point, she throws herself in the portal, and everybody said, it was needless, it was a needless death to me. And there's my rant.
But then how else would they close the portal?
Yeah.
But yeah. Dawn! Come on!
Yeah.
I couldn't stop it. Just throw throw the bitch in.
I'm playing devil's advocate because I'm totally on your side, but I'm thinking, like, how do we progress the story along?
Right.
But how could
somebody at some point just push Dawn in? Just something. I don't. It was, to me, it was like, okay, if it couldn't get stopped, why do you have to save Dawn? I just don't get it still.
But if the point is that the portal got open, you know, band-aids aside, Illyria, one of the Summers girls was going in, or the world's going to end, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, how could Buffy possibly face her friends if she let her, air quotes, sister die? How would they in the future be able to look in each other's eyes or get into a difficult situation if she was willing to sacrifice any of them before herself?
I think with me still, it's, and I get it's my issue, not anyone on the show's issue, but but she's, to me, I'm sorry, she's still not a real girl. So losing her isn't the worst thing in the world.
I feel like
it would set things right. To me, I feel like it would almost set things back to where she didn't exist anymore. To me, that's how I felt. Like, oh, if she goes in, sweet. This whole season's imaginary.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I think at the beginning of the episode, it felt like they all came to the conclusion, Dawn's got to go, except for Buffy.
Right.
So I think that if she went into the portal instead of Buffy, I don't think the rest of them would have felt that bad, because they'd be like, look, she had a job to do and that's what she needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like everyone was trying to get her, Buffy, to real. No, seriously, if we can't stop this, yeah, she gotta go. Let's just deal with it. That's the reality. And then she's like, no, I can't. Death is my gift. I need to do this because my life is so miserable. I can't deal anymore. It's like, come on, it's not.
Yeah, death is her gift. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, John Pavlich on the comments says, I can sum up Illyria's problem like this. Dawn's whole purpose was to sacrifice herself. The entire season's been building up to that. When that didn't happen, it felt anticlimactic.
Sorry.
Dawn didn't fulfill her role or purpose. Therefore, what now? What is her point for being?
Exactly. Mm. What is her point?
Yeah, I don't know if that's my issue. Maybe it is. I think I'm just, you know, I guess I was just hoping I'd feel more for the situation. And all I kept doing, as you guys heard me during the commentary, was I was nitpicking about stitches and first aid and applying pressure because I was like, eh.
Rachel Horn says, interesting fact, Xander was going to be Ben. Initially, the idea was that Glory would be in Xander.
That would have been pretty exciting.
So,
I just
Glory
does,
is
I can't.
Xander?
Yeah, I don't know how that would have worked.
Xander, is Glory?
Like throughout the season, or in the or in this finale.
I'm not sure.
I'd assume the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're saying there's a connection between Xander and Glory?
That would have been weird.
Yeah, I think I would have preferred that.
That would have been actually kind of cool, yeah.
You know what I really would have preferred?
What?
Glory is Riley? Riley is Glory?
Remember Riley? I forgot about Riley. He was in this season.
He was,
he was
wasn't
in what?
He was
in
this season.
He was in one episode, right?
No.
Oh, he was in like half the season.
He was like half the season, Kim.
What? He wasn't in the episode didn't start
Checkpoint.
With him remembering the helicopter?
Checkpoint, I think, was episode 16.
Oh, God. That feels like 1,000 years ago.
It was. Mostly because we've been really, really slow at recording.
Yeah.
You know what would have been really cool? If she was Scott Hope. What?
Guys. No, what if she was dumb blonde guy?
Who's having dinner with his parents?
What was his name? Owen? Was his name Owen?
Who, that was an her Owen. First boyfriend?
Her first boyfriend, Owen?
I think was Owen was never kiss, never kill a boy on
yeah,
the
Yeah, never
first
kill a boy
wedding.
On the first date. Yeah. Owen.
Oh, what if she was in Ted? That stupid puppet from season
hey.
One. That would have been awesome.
The puppet was awesome. The best. I miss that fucking puppet.
Well, we have Buffy Bot now. Oh, no,
Buffy
we don't.
Bot.
She's headless.
Headless Bot. Bot.
I mean, hey, let's talk Squeak's sex bot. That's so stupid.
You know what's kind of funny? When the Buffy bot was going on and she was getting ready to fight Glory, I was just like, I was kind of like, all right, Buffy's back. Yeah. Then I was like, oh, it's the friggin' robot.
Yep. Robot.
I loved the reaction. That was my favorite.
Everybody? Yeah.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Like, she was the first to discover that.
It was like in the episode where everybody's like, oh, April? He just broke by.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Willow.
Hey, Willow does the weirdest Willow? Vulcan mind meld I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then does some serious badass witchery.
I
and
love
then
Willow.
Her reaction when we look at Buffy's body is the one that really got to me.
Not Spike?
No, oh. Fuck Spike.
Spike killed me.
Yeah, well, he's a vampire. He's evil. Not surprised.
But, okay, so Willow's successful communication with Spike via telepathy indicates that vampires can receive projected thoughts even... Though, as Angel stated in Earshot, their own thoughts cannot be read as their minds are like a reflection in a mirror.
Hmm. Yeah.
Is that why he talked back?
I must say that this entire episode was full of action. It was packed with it. I would even venture to say it was action-packed. However, there were moments that I felt were nitpick worthy, and as such, I reserve the right to say it was not my favorite episode where Buffy dies.
Really?
Of the two?
Yeah.
Indeed.
The small fraternity.
Small fraternity.
Okay, so speaking of episodes where Buffy died. Okay, early on in the episode where Buffy and Giles are training in the back room, and they're having that conversation,
mm-hmm.
and Giles, they talk about apocalypses, and Giles thinks that this is their sixth, and it feels like their 100th. Okay, what episodes did they have to, were there apocalypses?
The Judge.
The Harvest.
The Harvest. Uh-huh. The one with the yeah. Judge.
Uh-huh. Prophecy
the
Girl.
One, Prophecy
where
Girl.
Buffy died.
Yeah, the one where they had to, where she killed Angel.
Uh-huh. Becoming part two.
That's like a Friends episode. The one where she killed Angel.
The Zeppo.
Yes. Forgot that there was an apocalypse there.
And Doomed. Do you remember Doomed? It was the one directly after Hush where it picks up directly after Hush where Buffy and Riley begin to talk and there's an earthquake and they stand in the doorway.
Mm.
And there's
three
demons and they go back to the old high school and the three demons are trying to jump into the Hellmouth.
And trying to rappel down into the Hellmouth.
Right, yeah.
Like G.I. Joe.
So those are all of the apocalypses so far.
So the mayor didn't qualify as an apocalypse?
I don't guess so.
Hmm.
Not according to these notes on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is always right, too.
It's never wrong.
Never wrong. Yeah. So What's with the inappropriate sexy time?
Yeah,
it's the end of the world.
You know, yeah.
Everybody get naked.
Nervous energy, you know?
You always have to have one couple. Yeah. Have one last go.
I'm warning you guys right now, our very last recording of Potential Cast, I will be removing articles of clothing out of just freaking out. And then it'll be really embarrassing when we record the next Redemption Cast. No, I'm not going to get naked. Don't worry.
Did you
I am. That... In fact, I'm never nude. I'll admit it right now.
Did y'all notice that Anya slapped Xander, and then, like, in the next scene, Tara slapped Willow?
I didn't notice that.
That was weird.
I didn't put the two and two together.
Wow, that's weird. I remember Willow getting slapped and being called a bitch. And I was like, oh, that was me. But I liked using Tara as a GPS.
That was amazing. I loved every second of that.
I'm like,
she's like, Comet.
That's why she's not dead. That's, like, that was my thought. I'm like, that's why she's not dead. That's her use. That's her usefulness right there.
We should rename her Greta Garmin.
Hey, that's my Garmin's name.
All we need to do is see her walking down the street going, recalculating.
Rerouting. Cannot find your destination.
You have 5 kilometers. Take a left.
Take a left
in
at the
3/4 of a kilometer. Take a left. Prepare to take a left.
Take a left. Keep right. What?
Yeah.
You have the power, you have reached your destination. Yes.
Turn around.
The god will be on your left.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, let's talk about Spock.
Oh, what a sad sack.
Oh my god, what a good scene at Buffy's house. Oh, such a good scene.
He's a sad sack. I think I preferred him better when he was a badass and he wanted to kill her.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? But though, is that not amazing, his arc? In season 4, he was their enemy. And then in season 5, he's, you know, he fought alongside them reluctantly, mm-hmm. only because he was going to get something out of it. Only because that's the only way he could kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And he slowly turned into a trusted friend.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
You know, Buffy realizes how much he loves Dawn and wants to protect Dawn.
Yeah.
I just really enjoy that part of the season.
And he's self-aware enough to know she doesn't love him. It made me sad.
I was and like, she may not ever. Okay, so Spike is invited back into Buffy's home after being banned in Crush. She doesn't hesitate to invite him in again. Oh, and that's where she says we're not all going to make it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed my favorite part of that scene was when he was, I think, in her room and was looking through the chests and grabbing weapons. It was like, oh, yeah, she keeps those there.
Arnie's distracting me with his licking of his paw. It's remember when I used to hate like kissy sounds? It's like that.
The smacking. Yuckity yuck.
Can we talk about Jewel Grey? How many teenagers in 2001 knew who in the heck Jewel Grey was?
No one.
No one.
Nobody.
None of them.
Arvin clone.
Oh, Gabby, I was so thinking of you watching this episode because I was like, I was, I guess, at the time at the same part of Alias as you were. I haven't finished it yet. I think you're done with it. Congratulations.
I'm done and I'm never going back.
But I was just like, what are the, like, he's on everything now, and it made me chuckle.
It was so, like, the first time he was on, I forgot why I remembered him from something that I had watched, like, back in the day. And then, but it, obviously I hadn't watched Alias yet. And then after watching all of Alias when I was sick, and then watching this episode, I'm like, holy shit.
So Joel Grey was on Alias?
Yes!
He must have been hurting for money at that time in the early 2000s.
I think that they wrote the part in Alias for him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Did he sing and dance?
Sadly, no. No. But he was equally creepy.
Yes. Yes.
Season 5? Or 4?
There were 5
four.
Seasons of Alias?
There's 5
yes,
seasons.
Yes, there's 5 four. Seasons. Wow. God.
I just started season 5.
I think I've watched one episode of that show.
Season four is the worst.
Seasons were great.
Yeah, I watched like 1.5 seasons. I don't think I got through season 2.
That's all you need.
Guys, I have a question about Buffy.
Okay.
Not Alias.
Okay. Let's talk about parallel timelines, okay? Let's say that you had not been a podcaster on an introcast about Buffy, but let's say that you had just been introduced to the show via Netflix by some friends, and your friends was like, hey, you should check out this show. I just recently discovered it. I'm doing a podcast about it. Check it out. Buffy's awesome. Don't judge it by the name, blah, blah, blah. Let's say that after the first season, you gave up on the show. All right. Mm-hmm. Knowing what you know now about these first 5 seasons, what would you say you would regret not experiencing had you given up in the first season?
I think because we're doing this show, I regret not watching it all at once.
Yeah.
So that I could, you know, stay in the moment.
Oh.
Or, you know, not watching it live with everybody else before we had, you know, TV on DVD. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we're pausing so much and then we have to wait that we can all record. That's one, I think we're taking away a little bit from watching it that way.
Mm. That wasn't an answer to my question, but you answered a better question than what I asked. So I'm going to go with it. Yes. Yes. So I think that the question you're answering is a better one than mine. So let me state it. What, as a podcaster doing a podcast about this show, do you regret that you don't think you would have had to sacrifice had you just watched it all the way through? Because that's a really good thing that you just answered there. Yeah, I would have loved to have inhaled this as quickly as I did something like BSG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sitting in the, and then who knows? We may experience things a little bit differently, but mm-hmm. I'm thinking that, like, again, staying in the moment, more of the bigger events may resonate more with us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to take away, because there's been some pretty great episodes that we've watched, and I think the big episodes, we've kind of been on the same thread as everyone else, liking them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as passionately, but
yeah,
I think we're getting the gist of it. But I think if we sat down, OD'd on the episodes all at once, it would have been not, I wouldn't say more enjoyable. I think we would have just been into it a lot more.
I obviously am a fan of the binge watching. And every year when I get the flu, I find a new series to watch all the way through. And as I said, I got through all of Alias. I never need to see it again. It got, but as bad as it got, it did get better, but I powered through to complete it. With Buffy, I still believe, I mean, I would love the opportunity to be able to binge watch it like I did Supernatural, like I did Psych, like I have so many, like I did so many other series. But I stand by what I said when, you know, when Joyce passed, I wouldn't have been able to make it past that. I would have stopped at the beginning of that episode.
And never
would have gone back. I would have stopped at the beginning of that episode and never gone back to Buffy. I wouldn't have gotten this far without this podcast.
No. Because
it still bothered me that episode affected me so much that, I mean, I said it, you know, just like I had to watch it with help from Tammy to get through it, because it was that devastating to me. And I would have started that episode, gotten upset, put it away, and never gone back to Buffy. So I guess to answer Lirio's question, without this podcast, I would have missed out on everything past that.
Now, if you had had other friends, like you just described, who might have been watching with you, would that have been enough, or was it really just the podcast?
I think it, probably a little bit of both. And then, you know, with the podcast, obviously, I had that's how I got the support of friends. Maybe, you know, maybe I would have, because I do have, you know, some friends that I've had for, you know, that I've had, God, forever, that are big fans of Buffy, that have been to this day excellent on not spoiling me in anything. I love my friends. But maybe eventually I would have gone back, like if I went over to Gigi's house, or if I went, you know, or if Daniel, or if Tammy, you know, I was around them, but I wouldn't have done it on my own by myself. No way.
I would have regretted not seeing Innocence.
Yeah.
I would have regretted not seeing Restless. And The Body, which was fantastic. Hush, which was fantastic.
Yeah, Hush was a great episode too.
And
I think I eventually would have got around to watching Angel and Buffy and Angel.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I would have regretted not watching Angel because I love the Pylea arc so much. But that's a different show.
Yeah. Yeah. But I enjoy both shows. I knew eventually I'd get around to them, but it was like this podcast came along, and I remember Steph telling me that I should watch it like every chance she could tell me. So
absolutely. So,
yeah. Yeah, and I with, you know, the whole Netflix stuff and TV on DVD, it allows us to go back and watch other shows. So I've got a list of shows that I know that I'm going to get around to watching.
Finding Bigfoot. Just kidding.
Well, now I just found out.
Oh,
I
have Mermaid to put, is great.
Now I just found out I have to put Extreme Cheapskates on my list.
No, you.
All right.
Okay, so do we want to make the announcement yet?
What's the announcement?
The new plan?
No.
What's the new plan?
No.
Do I know about this?
I think we do that on the other show.
Okay.
I think we do that on the other show. That's fine.
I get it. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
The new plan.
Let's cut all that out.
The plan for the difference.
Mm-hmm.
The plan for the difference, which might bring new vitality to the podcast. But that's all we're going to say.
Now that's a tease.
It's tease indeed. May I say
whatever?
What, my replacement? What?
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of shocked that we all are sticking to it.
I'm not.
Really?
No, I'm not at all. No.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
I thought one of us would have dropped off.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
That one being me. No, I'm kidding.
See, Kim, I know that you're all like, oh, I was going to quit there, I was going to quit here, I was going to quit here. But you know why you won't quit? Because you want to know how right you were.
No, it's because somebody has pictures of me doing.
This is also true.
No, I, yeah. I thought that one of us would have dropped off for whatever reason.
I'm a completist and I'm also slightly mm-hmm. obsessive. So the fact that I get to produce this and these means that I'm mm-hmm. here. So mm-hmm. there. are we ready for some feedback?
There's a crap ton of it.
Maybe yeah. before you jump to that, yeah. I do have a question.
Please.
Please.
Especially for all of the potentials here, and obviously not Steph or myself, but knowing what happened at the end of this episode and that there are two more seasons, predictions?
Mm-hmm. Oh, want to do predictions right away? I'm going to restate prediction number one, Faith is going to come back. And prediction number two, I think Dawn is going to try to be a Slayer and fail miserably.
No.
And my third prediction is I think we're going to see Buffy in flashbacks and memories, then dreams, and then she'll somehow be back, but they won't believe it's her. And then eventually she'll actually be back, but she won't be the same until the midway through the next season. And then we're going to see what happens.
I disagree with everything you just said.
Shocking.
I think they kind of alluded to Dawn dabbling in witchcraft. So I think if anything, she'll latch onto Willow and become her little mini witch. I think Buffy will be back.
You think she'll be back for the next two seasons?
I think that's a no-brainer. Yeah, I don't know how long it'll take her to be back. But I have a feeling that somehow the Angel cast will have to deal with it. So I'm thinking maybe one, possibly two episodes. So that's what I'm thinking there. What else? I think Xander and Anya will get married.
Married Anya.
And then she will die. I don't know.
I want Tara to. I don't even know anymore. I think I'm never going to get my wish, and I think she's just going to be around for the next two seasons.
I think Tara's going to die.
I feel like Willow is going to go dark side and bring back Buffy, and then there's going to be some kind of issue between her and Tara.
No.
Somehow.
Because she went after Buffy and she's supposed to love me. No, I don't think so.
Because you're using the dark magics.
No. The darkest magics. The
darkest of all of the magics. And then there's going to be some kind of rift and they break up and she goes away. Or, I don't even know. But I think magic's going to bring her back. The darkest kind. But then won't she be like a zombie? It'd be weird.
No. And I think I said that there's going to be a new Slayer. Another one. I do. Hmm. And I stand behind that, guys.
Maybe with a really awesome Irish brogue.
Because isn't Kendra still around? Even though she's not on the show. But
no, she died.
She died?
Oh, yeah, right? Drew
let her out.
Yeah,
that is correct. Yeah, so Faith is
Buffy
still there.
Buffy can come back from the dead. Why can't Kendra? I'm just kidding.
Oh, hold on a second.
She's on so many other shows.
Drusilla and or
Darla
make an appearance.
Yeah,
on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Good job.
Maybe.
Well, I think we're going to see two more Slayers. I changed my mind.
Two?
Two?
Yeah. Jeez, yeah. Kim.
Whoa.
This is like it's a Slayer Palooza or something.
Yeah. two Slayers.
Yeah.
One, two.
Yeah.
And one of them will be played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Because then who did Faith replace? Did Faith replace Buffy or did Faith replace Kendra?
Kendra.
Yep.
So then who did Kendra place.
The first time Buffy died.
The first time Buffy died.
The first time Buffy died. I love how we have to say that now.
Okay, yeah. Can I tell y'all a secret?
No. Okay.
Every time I record a podcast, and luckily it never happened when you guys heard him, my husband comes in here, busting the door, and says, Buffy dies!
Oh, really? He does? Yes,
he does.
And you were like, shut up.
Yeah. Oh my god. Bigot. What a terrible human.
Was that on this podcast or another one you did?
When I'm recording with Desiree.
Oh, okay.
He does it all the time. And he's done it when I'm recording with you guys, but I think I was on mute.
Thank God.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Way to spoil us, Edward.
Hey, I have a voicemail here.
Ooh.
I believe it's our Google Voice regular, Paul Mackey. Shall we?
Yay!
Let's listen to Paul. Let's try that again.
Hey, Paul Mackey. Calling in with voicemail for The Gift, which I believe, according to all the commentaries that I've heard, you've all seen now. Anyways, by the time you play this, you'll obviously have all seen it. Okay, so just a few things, connected loosely to the episode. First, if you watch The Avengers with a Buffy fan, now you know why in the scene with Captain America and the punching bag, that Buffy fan may have seemed just a tiny bit giddier than they should have otherwise. Xander's exclamation, Shpadoinkle, is a shout-out to Trey Parker and Matt Stone, who made a little student film, later released by Troma, called Cannibal the Musical. In the film, the song is called It's a Shpadoinkle Day, and the first few notes of that song play at the end of every episode of South Park over the Braniff logo. That's a couple of little trivia bits for you. Looking forward to hearing all of your thoughts, and looking forward to the next couple of seasons. So, Ripper is a badass, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye, Paul.
Awesome. I did not find those facts on Wikipedia.
Hey, I have another voicemail here.
Okay.
It's from Ina.
Ina.
Hi, Potential Cast. This is Ina with some feedback on the season 5 finale of Buffy. The Gift. Oh my god, I just watched it and it always makes me cry. You know, at the end when the music comes on, that lovely music from Christoph Beck.
Yes, the music is beautiful.
The sun comes up and Buffy jumps and I just start sobbing. Yeah, I love this finale. It's one of my favorite finales, and as much as I love the season 2 finale, The Gift is something really special to me. It's really emotional. It's got a lot of good moments. I just love how at the beginning we have the vampire fight like in the old days. We have the Scoobies coming together and figuring out a plan to defeat Glory. Yeah, we have the proposal. I'm not crazy about that, but that was just a small part. I also really love the little scene with Spike and Buffy at the house. How she invites him in. And that little smile he gives. So, we get this epic fight. And I thought it was great. Great fight. And I love that they used the Buffy bot to trick Glory. There was a lot of funny lines in this episode. And also some pretty gruesome stuff. Joel Grey, he was really creepy when it comes to Cut Dawn. And oh my god, Giles killed Ben. The Ripper is back. at least for a few moments. That was really badass. And Buffy's dead. Oh, yeah. She saved the world a lot. And what are they going to do now without her? Yeah, I can't help but give this episode a 10 out of 10. Trolls hammers, and I'm still quite emotional, and I just love this from beginning to end. Can't wait to hear what you thought. Bye.
Thank you, Ina.
Bye, Ina.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she's super emotional because she's preggers.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think
that's
we're
so
gonna
not
hear this.
Sexist of you.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think we're gonna hear
hate
that.
Mail. You can send it to me.
It's okay because we're ladies. We can say that.
Uh huh. Who
but
said
I
you're
think
ladies?
You're gonna hear. You're gonna hear that a lot. This is. Yeah. This episode does resonate with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. Here's Vincent E.L.'s feedback.
Hello, Gex. Hello, Gex. And potential guest, The Gift. An episode that is simultaneously really good and kind of doesn't make any sense. So, Donna's the key, made human through Buffy's blood. But to use the key, its essence has to flow, or something, which translates to blood when it's a person because Spike said so. So Dawn's blood is simultaneously key essence and Summer's blood, somehow. I guess it's a mix. But Buffy's blood is just Summer's blood with no key essence. And once the portal is opening, the only way to close it is for the key essence to stop flowing, which for some reason means someone with Summer's blood has to die, whether they're the key or not, of causes not necessarily related to the bleeding. What? I'm not even sure how the portal was supposed to stay open in the first place. Was Glory planning to keep Dawn alive forever or something? How does that work? I'm confused. Anyway, so Buffy has to jump from the tower and go splat in order to make the portal think that Dawn is done bleeding key essence. I am entirely lost. It's a big emotional moment, but logic-wise,
what?
I can make sense of a lot of things, but with this, I've got nothing. And even if there's some logical explanation for why it worked, I have no idea how Buffy managed to be so sure that it would. But hey, she saved the world a lot, so I guess she knows what she's doing? There's also another thing. Olaf's hammer. Olaf was Anya's ex, who was turned by Anya in an act of revenge into a troll. At some point, he got a hammer, and now Anya calls this hammer Olaf the Troll God's enchanted hammer. When did Olaf become a god exactly? Why would she punish him by making him a god? Or did she turn him into a troll and then he went on his own and got a job as a god the same way she got a job as a demon? In that case, when did Anya find this out? And more importantly, where do I apply? Deus ex troll hammer, we call this. But hey, at least Buffy got to hit Glory with a big-ass hammer, which was glorious. Speaking of Olaf, his troll curse is based on vengeance, right? Just like the curse that gave Angel a soul. So, if the same vengeance curse laws apply, what would happen if Olaf had a moment of true troll god happiness, thus making the vengeance moot? Would he turn back into a human or just die of old age? Or does his newfound godhood reinforce his trollhood, thus replacing the curse altogether? Anyway, I digress. Back to The Gift. Another thing I'm not really sure about, and I don't have the episode fresh in my memory, so I might be missing something, is the crazy people. Basically, Glory sucks people's minds when she's going crazy and leaves them crazy. And now they all feel compelled to go build a tower. Not sure what the source of this compulsion is. Did Glory leave the idea in their minds, or are they, like, drawn there by the key? Either way, hey, totally convenient, guys. Yeah, I'm gonna go suck some crazy people too. Wait, that came out wrong. Oh yeah, and Buffy's dead now.
Yeah.
Look forward to the next season of Dawn the Former Key to find the answer to the inescapable question, where do we go from here? I obviously have mixed feelings about this episode. There's so much good stuff, but not so much with the logic. This is often listed as one of the best episodes, but I have to take some points off for not making a lick of sense. So what does that add up to? I have no idea. I don't give points. Oh, and by the way, I promised you guys a Joyce remix. It's coming. There's just so much material, so it's shaping up to be a bigger project than I had anticipated. You guys really hate Joyce, and I've been having various problems getting in the way, so it's just taking a bit longer than I thought it would. But it's coming, eventually. Maybe in time for the musical, which, going by the fact that you guys seem to share my intense love for delays and the whooshing sound deadlines make as it go by, that probably means sometime in the 25th century, so see you guys there! This is Vincent D.L. signing off. Have a tasteful tuna.
Wow.
Oh my god!
Hey, Vincent, you want a job?
Like,
Thank
you.
You
just
Vincent.
Ruined it because you have to do that every episode now.
Oh. Oh my God! That is the best thing ever!
Wait! You think that's the best thing ever?
Uh-oh.
Do you guys remember ages ago when I used to produce a podcast with two fine ladies? One of them is here right now and the other one is in Pensacola.
Hi, bitch, please.
And we asked, you know, that never showed up on iTunes. Fucking iTunes. And Robin sent in feedback and it was 14 and a half billion minutes long. Oh, shocker. Look, Robin sent feedback for the gift. Enjoy.
Here we go.
25 minutes in length.
Hey guys, all right, I'm gonna take a break. Sending in my feedback for the X-Files 8 season episode.
Wait a second. I just paused this. Kim, did you just say you're going for a sandwich?
No, I said I was going for a pee break, but I was joking.
Oh, you should totally say you're going for a sandwich. Oh, Robin. Here we go. I rewound a little bit. There we go. Back to the beginning. I'm sorry for everyone who has to hear the intro again to Robin's feedback.
Hey, guys. Sending in my feedback for the X-Files 8 season episode, The Gift. It's kind of weird because I thought Intro to X would actually get to this episode before you, since you guys are a Buffy podcast and we're an X-Files podcast. could you try not to spoil my newbies too much with this episode, though? Oh, wait, you're covering the Buffy season 5 finale, The Gift. My bad. Lame jokes aside, I felt that I needed to give you guys a ring and not like Xander, but an actual like a call and share my enthusiasm for this episode. I actually wrote in a ginormous email and then I was like, you know what? I'll just say it in audio form. That way nobody has to read it. So,
and because
looking
I love
back on
my
it
voice.
As a vet that doesn't have the series on repeat, especially since you guys started Potential Cast, all I remembered about this episode was the Buffy bot reveal, some troll hammer clobbering time, and of course, Buffy's sacrifice. Watching it again, I really just sat in awe of that old Joss Whedon magic on my screen. The Body is still the most devastating episode of the season, but The Gift is right up there with all the feels. You can see how this was set up as almost a series finale for the WB. You get all the final goodbyes with the cast and one more interplay between the different pairings and relationships. So I wanted to go through some of those different pairings. Buffy and Giles. Did you guys like Buffy's Captain America moment with the punching bag? But great conversation here. The needs of the many should outweigh the needs of the few or the one to flawless heroes, but don't tell Buffy there's even a remote chance that they would have to murder Dawn. I love how Giles even hit on a topic that you guys have had a hard time letting go of, but she's not real. More on that later, but I like how this was a real moral crisis between Slayer and Watcher. It's hard to see Giles lose faith in finding another solution, but you can also understand where he's coming from. It's also hard to see Buffy not even contemplate making that hard choice, but you can also see, heck, she even says it, if she loses Dawn, she's done. Then Xander and Anya. Okay, who squeed when the ring came out? Tears. Xander and Anya had a beautiful moment in the Magic Box's basement, and not just the moments off camera. I also love their individual moments where Anya helps out with the plan by pointing out the Dagon sphere and Olaf's hammer. And then Xander also gets to pull a Miley by smashing Glory with a wrecking ball.
Ugh.
Willow and Tara. When Willow cries, tears here for me too. So it was like the second moment I started sobbing inwardly. The slap wasn't actually as shocking as when, you know, because Anya just slapped Xander in the last scene. But still, Willow helping Tara follow the call of the wild was touching, because who knows what danger lied ahead for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Willow kind of makes a sacrifice here too. And we get a nice bit of foreshadowing when Tara points at Giles and calls him a killer or a murderer or something. Mm. And we also got a nice cute little scene between Buffy and Willow. I mean, well, it's not cute. It was a really nice scene where Buffy actually gets to spend a moment with her best friend and tell her how important she is. I don't think we got the same thing with Buffy and Xander, but Buffy and Spike also had a nice scene. Is anybody shipping them yet? It's hard for me to do that because of all that they've been through with him being evil and selfish. But when Buffy invites him inside and then makes him promise to protect Dawn, my heart kind of warms. I don't want them to be an item, but I do like seeing Spike being gallant and actually respect Buffy, not just because she's hot and puts up a good fight, but because she's an amazing woman. And, you know, he actually respects her now. Did I say that twice? Anyway. Finally, after the battle, we get Buffy and Dawn. At the time of my first viewing, I have to say I was wary of Dawn's brattiness, but by the time the gift aired, I was sold on her. Sure, I cared about her because Buffy did, but think about how it must feel like to be her, to be just an inanimate energy key.
Her?
Thingy, and then all of a sudden you have a soul and thoughts and feelings, to be convinced that you're a normal teenage sister of a superwoman, to have memories of years gone by, and then to find out everything she thought she knew about herself and her own existence is not real. You would hope if someone discovered that, they'd be able to just toss those thoughts and feelings away, but Dawn can't, and neither can Buffy. So it doesn't matter if she wasn't real before. She's real now. Those memories and feelings of attachment may have been faked, but they're still there. She is still a part of Buffy. I think it took me these last few episodes of season 5 to finally cast away my hopes that somehow this could be all resolved by, I don't know, a mind wipe so everything goes back to normal. I mean, how would you solve this situation, guys? I mean, so you may not be happy she's here. And honestly, I haven't heard, you know, any of your commentary, so you might have come around as well. But, you know, it is kind of a TV trope or whatever. But I really think it was clever how they inserted her into the show. Like this. And really, it kind of brought a lot of moral quandaries between different characters. And I think it served the story really well. How worthy is Dawn's life? Worthy enough to save? Buffy seems to think so. And you know what? I think so too. So, well, I've droned on long enough. Rest in peace, Glory. also, Buffy, she saved the world a lot. See you guys on Redemption Cast. Bye.
Bye, Robin. Thank you for that.
Wow. It was, wow. It was like Robin was here.
Yep.
Without recapping the episode scene by scene.
We got some emails too. Anybody want to read one? I'll read the first one here. Ray sent us an email. I wanted to give a little bit of feedback on The Gift. I want to first say that season 5 is my favorite season of Buffy. I love the way that it all comes together. And while seasons 1 through 3 are high school Buffy and season 4 is kind of a transition year for the show, season 5 is full-on adult Buffy. From the death of her mother to facing off against a god, this season has Buffy dealing with much more mature topics. No more high school is hell metaphors that litter the first couple of seasons. As for The Gift, it's my favorite episode of Buffy. As you know by now, the episode was originally written to serve as a possible series finale, and from the amazing Previously On to the really cool throwback pre-credit opening scene, you can just feel that this isn't any ordinary episode of Buffy. It's going to be something special, and I think it delivers perfectly. Every character gets their moments, from Giles stepping up, being a badass and killing Ben, to Willow using magic to save Tara and Spike
pardon, save Tara to Spike stepping up and showing that he is on Buffy's side. I also love the way that this episode uses seemingly small things from earlier in the season and use them as major weapons in the fight against Glory. The Diagon Sphere, the Troll Hammer, and using Crazy Tara to find Glory, just to name a few. There are just amazing moments throughout, and in the end I think Buffy sacrificing herself was great. For all intents and purposes, Buffy is a superhero, and in the end, the superhero always needs to be the one to make the final sacrifice. And that last shot of Buffy's tombstone is just really powerful imagery. It makes me feel every time I watch it. What a haunting and powerful final shot for the season, and I think it would have been a great way to end the show had it not continued. Overall, just an amazing episode that just perfectly closes one of my favorite seasons of television of all time. Ray. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Bruce. Bruce.
Bruce.
Bruce, the gift, 5.22. Buffy can't catch a break. Let me zoom in here. Buffy can't catch a break in season one. She listened to Giles and died. In season five, she refused to listen to Giles and died again. I wonder if Buffy ever told Giles what she learned about prophecies from the Master back in Prophecy Girl when they were trying to keep him from opening the Hellmouth and releasing hell on Earth. You heard the prophecy that I was about to break free and you came to stop me, said the Master. But prophecies are tricky creatures. They don't tell you everything. It was the Master killing Buffy that allowed the Hellmouth to be opened. Had she not listened to Giles and just stayed away, the Master would have remained stuck. The Hellmouth would not have opened, and Buffy would not have died the first time. 4 years later, Giles still believes that everything there is to know is in the old books. But Buffy has grown up a lot. She's faced death and died. She's loved and lost, gained a sister, lost a mother. I think I've said this before, but Buffy had as much input about getting a younger sister as any older sibling ever does. So Dawn's origin is not an issue in the Buffy story. That's very good, Bruce. Thank you. Spike says Buffy treats him like a man, and he says it as if that might be a good thing. The brief moment we see Dawn as she looks down and realizes that Buffy and the gang have arrived to fight for her is very cool. So is the big fight. Especially the incremental way of fighting a god. First Willow, then the Dagon Sphere, then the Buffybot, then the hammer, the wrecking ball, and more hammer until the human hand of Giles is able to end it. Like Giles, a lot of fans wanted some concrete evidence that Buffy's sacrifice would work before she took her leap. I guess concrete means something written down by someone somewhere at some time and kept in a box at Joel Grey's apartment. Odd since Giles were recently complimenting Buffy for thinking for herself. Besides, if she happened to be wrong, she already knew that Dawn was willing to jump too, but there's no way Buffy was going to let that happen without trying everything she could, including sacrificing herself. That, by the way, is not the definition of Death Wish. Hooray for the Summers Girls. I've seen the gift described as written by hacks with a literal deus ex machina that make the shark jumping moments possible. It could be the most divisive episode of the series, certainly among the top three. I think it's great. Thematic elements woven through season five, dualism, free choice, family, culminate nicely in the finale. In case you didn't believe the monk in No Place Like Home, and you shouldn't necessarily believe anything in the show just because someone says it. Turns out that if Buffy's blood is the same as Dawn's, then Dawn's blood must be the same as Buffy's. So Dawn really is human. I assume everyone has pointed out some of the foreshadowing of Buffy's death. Faith in graduation day 2, counting down from 7-3-0. Female Oracle and I Will Remember You said that Buffy would die before Angel's big apocalyptic battle. Tara and Restless, that clock's completely wrong. And Faith as Buffy in Who Are You? Expiration 501. Oh, May 2001. And I'm not even going to get into the theory that Buffy versus Dracula was an illusion created by the monks in order to get a sample of Buffy's blood so they could mold the key into her sister. There just isn't enough time to talk about season 5, especially with 2
more to go. Thank you.
Interesting.
Stephanie, do you want to read Stephanie's email?
Where's that? Okay. Stephanie, hello, Gex Plus guest. First, I must thank you for your gifts. The two commentaries, great to listen to,
two?
Along with Illyria.
And... two commentaries. I love it. Remember when there were just two commentaries, guys?
Remember that day? That one day that there was only two.
Sorry.
Okay, great to listen to along with Illyrio and Kim. And my God, the songs at the end. Some say heartless, but I saw it as a good way to cheer up after watching that episode. My thoughts on the gift. I like how the episode starts off like a classic Buffy episode. One vampire, one slayer, like the good old days. The beginning, a male vampire underestimating Buffy because she's just a girl. Ugh, you've never heard of the Slayer? Are you new? As much as many people dislike the character Dawn, I believe, and believe me, I'm not her biggest fan either. I think we can all appreciate what a difficult thing killing Dawn would be to ask of Buffy. Just imagine finding out your sibling was created by monks and that all your memories of them were made up. Would you be able to feel differently about them, like they are now expendable? Probably not. It's easy for somebody else, Giles, as much as I love him, to see the clear-cut choice, but it's not his sister, is it? To me, killing Ben as soon as they figure out he was linked to Glory would have made the most sense and would have stopped the entire shebang. But that's not what makes exciting TV, right? And I'm sure the moral dilemma of killing a non-demon, yada, 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 but is Ben really a regular human when he can morph into female god? I'd say that was their loophole right there, justified. How creepy is Doc when he holds the knife up to his face? Omit if this is a quote. Want to see a trick? And who knew he was so spry? A sweet kick to knock down Spike, and the blood dripping from Don's feet is so gross. So Giles is a killer. Who saw that coming? How will killing a human affect him? Has he killed before in his Ripper days? If Buffy had killed Dawn, she would have nobody left. But ironically, by sacrificing herself, she's left Dawn with nobody. Well, except the Scoobies, where she never really fit in, and an estranged father who we never see. Dawn will wear the overalls of shame and go waitress in L.A. The overalls of shame and go waitress in L.A. I watched Buffy as it originally aired. I was a year younger than the characters. I wasn't into online forums or reading spoilers, so I'm pretty sure I thought this was the end of Buffy, but I can't remember exactly. I wish I could recall my original reaction to the ending. I'm pretty sure it was along the lines of, wait, that's it? She's dead? That's the end? You are so lucky you can watch season 6 straight away. No matter how many times I watch this episode, and I watch it 4 times this week, I'm ashamed to admit the music at the end always gets me teary. So, question for you guys. So, does Buffy stay dead? Obviously, the series goes on for 2 more seasons, but it's still called Buffy, so predictions on what will happen next. What do you think will happen to Dawn? Will she go on and live with her dad in another state and never be heard from again? Will Xander and Anya get married and adopt her?
Oh!
God, no.
A new Slayer will be called, right? Predictions about her accent. Thanks and keep up the good work, Stephanie. Beautiful
Thank
name.
Uh-huh. That's great.
Is that it?
Let's see. Heidi. There's Heidi.
Heidi!
Kim, do you want to read it?
I'm just looking for it now. Hold on.
Okay.
If someone has it, go right ahead and read it.
Okay, I'll read it. Okay, here's Heidi's email. Hey, Gax and Guest. I love this finale. It's one of my favorite of the season finales. I know the whole stopping of the blood thing doesn't make much sense, but I don't mind too much. I don't know why they can't just make Dom's blood coagulate to close the portal. It's just the blood stops flowing, but it ends with one of the most powerful scenes of the show, so I forgive the lack of reasoning. One of my favorite scenes is Anya and Xander in the basement of the magic box. There are so many scary things down there, robots, bunnies, and marriage proposals. I love it so much. I just wanted to comment on Anya as a character. Kim, I know you don't like her and you think she's there for the cheap laugh. I was a psychology major my first time in college, and I look at Anya as a commentary on U.S. culture. She doesn't understand how things work here, and when she thinks she's got it, it's actually kind of wrong. Anyway, I wrote several papers examining norms in society based on things Anya said in the show. It made me look at things we just do and made me see how an outsider might see things. This probably doesn't change how you feel at all, but I just had to get that out there about why I love Anya. The scene where Buffy and Spike get the weapons is really good. I like that she invites him in again and that he is just happy to be considered part of the team. It's heartbreaking when he realizes he can't protect Dom. I love that Anya contributes and basically comes up with half of the plan. I love the big reveal with the Buffy bot and that it's a pretty amazing fight. The hammer, the wrecking ball, Willow getting Spike up the tower, and Ripper returns, and we see it this time. And then the portal opens and there's a dragon. Buffy sacrifices herself for Dom. The scene with all of them seeing Buffy's body always makes me cry. She saved the world a lot, not technically a quote. I hope the way the season ended made the journey more worth it for you guys. I really love season 5. Heidi, sent from my iPhone.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Heidi's iPhone.
And yes, Heidi's iPhone's the best.
The best. I think this might be one of these episodes where we stop the feedback here.
There's so much.
All right, you're not going to read all 67 comments?
67?
I'm not going to read all 67 comments. I want to thank everyone who either sent in a voicemail or sent in an email or also wrote on the comment thread. It's getting late and I think we need to get to ratings. I think we need to get to quotes.
Oh, God.
And I think we need to talk
to
about
what's get on to the watching the next episode.
Plate for next time.
Hells yeah.
Hells yeah. So, I think, Kevin, would you like to rate the episode?
Sure. trying to be the surrogate for many fans who loved this episode, I will be simple and just give it 9 out of 10 best shows ever.
I see what you did there. Awesome. Now, how about our triumphant returning co-host, Gabby?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh my God, I totally forgot I have to rate.
You're so rusty. Practice.
I have a quote. Okay, so as far as season finales go, I felt as though this was rather lackluster. And we all know my beef with suicidal Buffy, and I think she took the easy way out. And I really wish that Dawn didn't get pushed into the portal. But I don't know. Again, not the best, but it's not the worst. And I don't want everybody to think I'm completely crapping on it, because there were some good things about this episode. And I'm not gonna lie, I mentioned it before, and it did make me giggle that Tara is basically a living, breathing GPS. And that was epic. Oh my God, and the bunny in the basement and the freaking out was hilarious. So I guess I kind of meh over this. So I'm going to give it 5
5.
Wow.
I'm giving it a 5. Because it wasn't great to me.
5.
It didn't completely suck. I was just kind of whatever. So I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 glorified bricklayers.
So can I just say that for those of you wishing to present yourselves with pitchforks and torches, Gabby lives at...
We're going into the witness protection program tomorrow.
What I mean to say is, Gabby's back, bitches.
Yeah.
It's been nice, everybody. This is my last episode.
Hey, Kim, do you want to complete this first course of a shit sandwich? Sandwich? Sure. We'll start off with the nice bread of Kevin. The shitty meat patty of Gabby.
The shitty shit of Gabby.
Maybe you have something nice to say.
I enjoyed this episode quite a lot. I get the lacklusterness of it all because with finales, they've all been pretty epic. I liked it, but then I was just like, I felt like, what's missing here? But like, probably because I talked myself into thinking something else was going to happen. And when it didn't happen, I was like, what the fuck? It didn't happen. and with Robin saying, or not just Robin, but people, make sure you watch Buffy first before you watch Angel. Mm-hmm. And I was, because I thought, again, watching the next episode, not to spoil anything, I was just like, okay, when's Buffy going to show up, you know? And I think, honestly, I could have watched it in any order. Not that I would have, but I would have watched Buffy first anyways.
Yeah.
I digress. Mm. For everyone that says I don't like Anya, first of all, I thought this was her best episode, okay? I read every comment on the boards. So let me just say that. And not to get into anything, but I enjoyed this episode, guys. Stop with the hate. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, please continue with the hate, apparently.
No. Yeah. Bring it on. I actually like it, but anyways, there are always moments in the episode, again, Kim, you said about you gotta let it go and just embrace the cheese, if you will, but there are some things like the wrecking ball, which I honestly hurt my eyes so much from having them roll back in my head. I was just like, okay, yeah, we're back to watching Buffy. Yep, that's right. I remember the show now. You know, like there are a few moments like that, which, you know, shave points off. but so I'm not going to give it a 5. That I think is pretty harsh. Not as high as 9. I was going to give it a 9, but I think I'll settle like an 8.5 wrecking balls.
8.5?
Yeah. Wow. I thought it was a really good episode, and because it's obviously not done, where it was a great cliffhanger, because I'm like, I need to know what happens next. Not like, okay, yeah, no, I need to know what happens now, because there's 2 more seasons of this. How did she come back? And if she is dead and resurrected, how many times are they going to do it with the other characters in this show? And because if someone dies, you got to think back. Well, they brought back Buffy. Why can't they bring back whoever? If anyone dies.
I liked this episode a lot. It bugged me to no end how certain parts of this episode just bothered me about logistics and logic. You know, I mean, Vincent put it best, and I really mean that. Vincent put it best. the lack of logic and stuff. So I can understand this episode being divisive. If I were to take a comparing all the finales, I think I like it as much as most of them.
Really? I think this is my least favorite of them. But yeah. Anyways, go on.
I don't think I like it as much as most of them. I don't think it's my favorite, but I don't think it's that far from them. Because here's the way I see it. If I take Dawn out of the equation, this episode is fantastic. And I have no qualms. If I put Dawn into it, but I change the way that Dawn was dealt with, I really love this episode. So, remember how the bronze used to get extra points for an episode? I think I'll just deduct points. And maybe it's because it's Olympic season and there are point deductions for all kinds of things. I think I'll just deduct points for Dawn not dying. And really just consider how this episode had so much stuff that I really, 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 really liked. Especially Giles murdering someone.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Giles alcoholic and despondent and completely worthless.
You think that's going to happen?
I think he is going to be so full of regret and remorse and Buffy dying and did he do it? Did he cause it because he killed Ben? And what if he hadn't killed Ben? And all this stuff is going to go through his mind. He's going to be a shadow of his former self. And I can't wait. And because one of my favorite characters murdered someone, I'm going to give this episode a 4. Times
yes!
2.
Yes!
Times
wait,
2.
Wait, Gabby.
A 4 times 2 out of 10. This is going to have an 8 out of 10.
Damn it.
Inappropriate sexy times.
Damn it. I shake my fist at you.
I was like, wait for it.
Shit.
Okay.
I need witness protection.
Here comes the dessert. This finale does not work for me at all. Like,
what?
I give it.
What's happening like I almost, here?
I know. I almost hate this episode. I hate
Isn't this your favorite season of the entire series?
Did I say that?
I believe so.
I think I said it was a very even season. I don't know. It just. I mean, okay, Ripper showing up and killing somebody. That's a point. Spike, the scene with Spike, you know, Spike crying over Buffy's dead body. Okay, and I finally realized, okay, I always thought that Glory was too much like the mayor to me, but I realize now Glory is a petulant child. Glory is like Dawn. Glory is like a mirror of Dawn. She's a child. So that's good. I give that a point. But I give it, I don't care for this. Because I don't understand why Buffy had to die. I
yes!
do not understand it.
Very true.
And you've seen it.
I've seen it a million yes! times. And I know Justificationer says that it's because it's the classic hero story. The ultimate sacrifice is that Buffy gave up her life. For her friends. If this series ended like this, like Lirio said in his commentary, I would be so pissed. I give it 4 out of 10 candidates for syndication.
Wow.
Times two or
it.
Times what?
Times one.
Oh
wow.
My god.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Wow. I'm shocked.
I'm ashamed of myself.
I'm proud of Steph.
Wow. So Gabby's feeling good. She got someone else to deflect
Here's
everything,
you,
now.
Ladies.
I know. So now Steph needs to go into witness for
And I know so many people love this episode. You know, just like Ina's voicemail and Heidi's email. I know so many people love this. I just I don't get it. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it's funny, it came up in the thread on Facebook. If this had been the finale of the series, I think it would have been an outstanding way to go out.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I would have been crying for days.
She saved the world a lot.
But that's me. That's just me.
Hey, folks, that's what we thought. You can send us thoughts on what you thought at the email.
I think the only way this episode would be greater is if at the end, Dawn ran after Buffy, pushed her aside, and jumped into the portal herself.
That pushed her aside onto the ground.
Yeah.
And she would have lived because she fell five times and was totally fine. What's one more? Anyways, you can write us at potentialcast@gmail.com.
Yes, do that. Let us know what you think of the show, of our show, stuff like that. You can follow us on Twitter at PotentialCast. You can go to the website, PotentialCast.com. That is where we post show notes and release episodes and stuff like that. And obviously you can join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/PotentialCast. Keep it spoiler free or else. I think we're getting a lot of feedback on the YouTube video here, Gabby. I know someone's already said, where can I get a torch? Val said that I scared her with my faux four. Val says, no, not you too, Steph. I'm in the bizarro world. And yeah. Grant says, it too, Stephanie. Yeah, so ladies, be careful.
Yeah, I'm
so,
okay.
Hey.
Be fine.
You can call us too. 27040-BUFFY. Like Paul Mackey has it on a speed dial. You can too. Call us. It's free, I think. Not sure if it's free. Probably not from Canada. I think it's quote time. And I suggest we let our guest, the Right Honorable Kevin Batchelder, have the first quote.
Because it was such a strong episode for her, I'll go with an Anya one where she said, when they were figuring out what to do against Glory, she said, here to help, want to live.
Ah, that was mine.
Nice. Kim?
What was that? Sorry, my quote?
Yeah.
Gosh.
And it can't be about curling.
Sweep, sweep.
Sweep!
Sorry, I was so rude. I realized you were having like the most profound moment of like watching the show, and I'm like, sweep,
sweep. I was.
I think sweeping. It was sweep. Damn it.
Can I say spodoinkle again? Oh God. I think that's the only quote I had time to write down. I wrote the one about Anya and the bunnies. Oh, my favorite one was Xander, though. Smart chicks are so hot.
You couldn't have figured that out in 10th grade?
Yeah.
But I still liked boys.
I know. Gabby?
I know you'll never love me. I know that I'm a monster. But you treat me like a man. And that's... Get your stuff. I'll be here.
I don't know. I couldn't remember any of the funny minion things because they were awesome. Oh, like makes me hot in the loins one or something.
Or when he said, today will be our day of glory.
Glory.
Something about a pun. Like...
This is a multiple person. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Steph.
I'm sorry. You go ahead, Illyrio.
This is one with multiple people, so bear with me. Remember, the ritual starts, we all die, and I'll kill anyone who comes near Dawn. Well, not exactly the St. Crispin's Day speech, was it? We few, we happy few, we band of buggered.
Did you see the sign that said, no parking in the back, violators will be toads?
That's no.
Awesome. That was cute. The Slayer is a robot. Did anyone else know that the Slayer is a robot?
That was awesome.
Can we all take a moment of silence for Glory?
Yes. Here, let me spill a little bit in my mouth.
Thank you.
Yeah, she was delightful.
So is delightful. That the end of Glory? You guys obviously can't say.
We can't tell you.
God, she was my favorite. She's now my official favorite Big Bad.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. She's delightful.
Ooh, another prediction. The Big Bad for season 6 is Buffy.
Oh, interesting.
That's how they bring her back. She's a big bad and she doesn't know who she really is. It's amnesia, but not quite. Oh, and she comes back as a brunette.
I don't think it's going to take them a whole season to bring her back.
Yeah.
2 episodes tops. Because Angel's got to be there. He ain't going to be around the whole show.
Oh my God, if 6.1 is a clip show, I'm done. It's like, remember the time.
Do you remember?
Can Kevin? I just say, this entire time I've been watching the reactions of the non-newbies, trying to gauge if we said anything remotely along the right path.
Of course you have.
And I was waiting for any subtle hint.
Some Robin of us just don't care on. About that kind of stuff, Kim.
I care deeply.
Can I tell you a secret? What? Is it good? Is it a spoiler?
I know. We're all like, oh, Stephanie's going to tell us a spoiler. She's going to be in trouble.
But she surprised us with a worse rating than me.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I just want to say real quickly that it's been a lot of fun for the past few years having you folks go through the series. As a longtime fan, it's been quite an experience with the roller coaster ride of opinions, but a great way to re-enjoy the series. So I know you folks put in a lot of time to do this and just want to say it's been fun.
Thank you, Kevin. We're not done, by the way, folks.
I would say, what?
We're not done.
Am I done now?
Still have 3 years to go, guys.
No, it's just I've been around for most of the finales with you, but, you know, so I just didn't want to forget to say it.
Hey, how many episodes away is Once More with Feeling?
7.
Oh, I can't wait.
We're that close?
You're that close.
When we do our commentary, our podcast for that show, are we going to sing the whole time?
I say yes.
I vote yes.
Yes.
Of course. We should be singing now.
And I apologize to everyone.
Thank you, Kevin, for joining us. It's been really swell. Please tell people where you can be reached on the internet that some people characterize as hell. I can't rhyme worth shit. Muffy on today's special rhymed better than me.
We're going to have to start writing our stuff now.
Oh, we can't just improvise it. Wah, wah.
My primary site for all my genre TV podcasts is over at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Tuningintosci-fi-tv.com if you want more Kevin Batchelda. Thanks again for joining us, Kevin.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
So, Steph?
Yes.
What's next time, on the plate for next time?
We need to talk about this. Okay, the season 6 premiere is a 2-parter.
What?
So do we want to do both parts?
No, together? We usually watch one. We don't let ourselves watch the next one. We record the first part, and then we watch the second part immediately after we record.
Okay, all right. So up next would be Bargaining Part 1.
Oh, do the Scoobies join a union and this is about a collective bargaining agreement?
Slayers International.
Hey, love it. The Teamsters. To the 21 viewers on YouTube, 22 viewers on YouTube right now, thank you for sitting through the initial conversation about Canadian Tire Money and our digressions about Alias. To those of you waiting to listen, the audio quality at the beginning is not going to be as good as a little later, but that may just be because I was distracted and a little rusty. So there. And folks, do yourselves a favor. Get out there and move. Bye, everyone.
Namaste.
Turning off the broadcast later, so I can play some awesome musical choices so that the YouTube video won't be banned. Stopping broadcast now.
So
there we go. Hey, no, you guys want to hear one of the songs?
Okay.
Here's one of the songs. There's a little bit of it. Let's see if you can recognize it early.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you Catholic girl, start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done, only the good die young. Send up a signal, I'll throw you the line. Stained glass curtain you're hiding behind never lets in the sun. Darling, only the good die young. Whoa, 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 whoa. I tell you, only the good die young. Only the good die young. You got a nice white dress and a party on your confirmation. Better, but I say it ain't. I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. You know that only the good die young. Oh, baby.
Woman to take your seat, he got the power, oh, she got the need. She spends her life through pleasing up a man. She feeds him dinner, oh, anything she can. She cries alone at night too often,
smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Man makes your hair gray. He's your life's mistake. All you're really looking for's an even break. He lies right at you. You know you hate this game. Slaps you once in a while and you live in love and pain. She cries alone at night too often. He smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. 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 Only women bleed.
Only women bleed.